As I was preparing for this lesson, sir, I was trying to make my mind of which one to present this morning, and I decided to present this one in the morning and then the other one in the evening. That had to do with worship. But this one is something that we need to be familiar with, because all our high schools and colleges are teaching about evolution. And it's accepted by the law, it's accepted by our country, it's accepted by everyone as being truthful. And when you try to pass a law to include one way or another how to teach the kids the Bible, there's a lot of fight against it. And I can understand both the positive of teaching it and the negative of teaching it. The positive, of course, you expose the kids to what the Bible says. But the negative is that there might be a teacher who is teaching a dogma of his or her denomination. So the kid get more confused. Hola. Better? Okay. So what happened is that for that reason, I guess I can understand why maybe right that confused children not to teach it. But then another part of me say, well, it's better to expose him to some form of believing in God so he then find out by his own or through his parents what is truth. So, you know, both sides has their own arguments, pros and against it. But I have been exposed to some classes of evolution, and I understand how they explain it. To a lot of people, it makes sense. But then as a Christian, I had to realize that I had the choice. Believe that, teach that, leave that, or believe what the Bible had to say. And leave that, and teach that. And to me, that's more positive. Because with that, there is a future. What happened to our souls, and why we should behave properly and have our conduct correct here, while that one, nothing but dust to dust. No future. You mean the Lord gave me a soul for nothing? He's going to die with me? So I can accept that. So that's why I tried to study different way of teaching what the Bible had to say and how to combat when you're exposed to things like that. The law of designer, the law of the cause and effect, and the law of biogenesis. Because we do know there was a designer. We do know that the Lord made the whole world, the universe, everything. But there are so many schools teaching our kids about the Big Bang. And they're exposed to that. They come home, guess mom. Mom, guess what? The Big Bang. This is how the world was put together. But then when you try to get into the nitty-gritty, how could that be true? Then the kid can open his eyes. So I'm going to tell you some of the things directly from the Bible that could help you teach a kid or expose the kid to how to combat that type of ideology. Because I can get this watch here, and I know you probably have seen several sermons on this, and I can smash it until it's in pieces. And then I can put them in the back and go like this and open it up. It's still in pieces. And I do it again. Still in pieces. So no matter many times, never will those things, all those mechanisms, all the intricate pieces of how the watch put together will come together. No time. No matter how many hundreds of times I move it and put it in a machine, open it up, and it's still in pieces. But it takes a man who knows how to put the watch together, and ta-da, then it starts ticking. A couple of weeks ago, my wife needed a battery in one of her watches. And I went over there, I bought a battery, took it to the Euro, put it together. Whoop, perfect. because that's how it works, to the battery. You don't put in the battery, you might have it looking nice, but it won't work. So you need a battery, unless you can plug it into the wall, you know. If not too many watches come with an outlet anyway. But my point is this, that sometimes people try to explain out of things that are impossible sometimes to explain. How could that be? How from a big bang, all those worlds, and the Bible uses worlds in the plural too, all those worlds and all those planets and all that go into their own orbit. How could possible? How we are made of our DNA, how could the DNA work the way it is? And from there, when we have children, they carry our DNA because we carry it from our parents. And sometimes you look at your grandchild or your child, whoa, like my son, when he first saw his daughter being born about 20-some years ago, whoa, she looked just like me. To him, that was, but to me, it's expected. It's part of you, so what you want her to look like? Your neighbor or somebody else? So it's best that this child look like you. But even if she doesn't, it's your child, and you love him and do the best you can. So that's one of the problems we have, that we have an orderly universe that could not happen by chance. There's no way the way we are. Because we know that if we get real closer to the sun, we're going to be saying, ouch, for a long time. Burn up. Just look at the people who go to the beach, and you see them there, and they red, sleeping. Then they get up, whoa, what happened? You got burned. That's what happened. You're exposed to the heat. But the same thing happened if you withdraw from the sun distance that is comfortable right now. But if you withdraw and make it far away, we're going to freeze because we need the heat to survive. Our planet needs the heat to survive. So that alone, thinking of that alone, you realize the importance of being in the orbit that we are in. We're closer, we are hurting, and we get distant, we are hurting. Either way, our planet be hurting. So it's best to stay there. And how is that possible to stay there? To me, it's because that's how God figured it. That was the best orbit to be in. And yes, we have hurricanes, and we have calamities, and we have problems like that. But guess what? Even though we don't experience this, all the planets, they go through cycles of problems too. We're just not there. But we know that that's the way God designed it. And that tells me there is a designer. But not only that, not only making sense of that, what I just told you, look at Psalms, because that's what the thing we should do, be able to have a place to make reference to help us believe what we believe and defend it. Look in Psalms, the 19th chapter. And verse 1 and 2. Psalms 19, 1 and 2 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So here, we realize in the heavens, as we look up, that itself declares his existence, that there is heaven. That in itself, regardless when we look at it at night where we can hardly see what's going on, or in the daytime where we can, especially if we have telescopes and things like that. And it seems to me like every year I hear about a new planet being discovered, a new planet that is so immense that the Earth can be put inside of that planet hundreds of times. That's how huge some of those planets are. And even now in our own galaxy, the Jupiter is many times bigger than the Earth. So we're insignificant when we look at the configuration of each planet. But the fact that we know we are in the right orbit, that we're not going to burn and we're not going to freeze. If we want to freeze, all we have to go to the North Pole and take our clothes off. We will freeze. So, and if we want to to burn, there's places in here that is a constant heat. I saw recently, I forgot the country that it is, that a lot of monkeys learn how to go into a swamp and keep warm because there's vapors keeping that water warm, and they like that. They don't want to be out in the jungle where there's no temperatures like that. They like to be there, and I don't know if you've seen that, but to me that was something, how that those animals acclimatize themselves to something that I don't want to be in it. I don't want to go no swamp to stay warm. I'd rather just buy a heater. But that's life. So here you have there 19, 1 and 2 telling us how important it is that the glory of God is explained right through the heavens. And to me, that also means the planets that we live, that we're neighbor to, and what they can do. Right now, we've been exposed to things that were discovered in the moon. Why is that? Because we visited the moon. And right now, we're trying to do our best, and we have done already some artifacts have landed in Mars. And we like to know what the composition is there and what minerals might be there that we can use. You know, they're always trying to find out how would that benefit us, right? That's why sometimes we even have wars, because some country has oil and some people don't, and they want to fight to get that oil. So for different reasons, we go into discovery to improve ourselves, and sometimes wars start because of that. But not just stay on that 19:1, but go to chapter 8. I'm talking about Psalms, still in Psalms. Go to back to chapter 8. Okay, chapter 8, and this is a psalm of David himself. And in chapter 8 and verse 3 to 9 says the following: When I consider your heavens, meaning God's heaven, right? The work of your fingers, God's fingers, which actually in his own mind, he don't really have to use finger, he had to just figure something in his mind and it would be so. But this is how he wrote it. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, that is a factual godly saying. He ordained that to be, and it was so. Just like he ordained us to be, and it was so. And in verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you visit him. In verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Just think what the Lord had done for us. Sometimes we take it for granted, you know, our life. But look how he did it. How he did it. He gave us honor. He gave us glory. He crowned us as his children. So consequently, I think, wow, why did he want to do that for us? Because the fatherly nature of him. He created us, so he takes care of us. He loves us. And then in verse 6, you have made him to have a dominion over the works of your hand. So all the creation, guess what? We have dominion. That's where we can have animals. That can we, sometimes our livelihood depends on how we deal with the animals. And then he said, you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, the paths that pass through the path of the seas. You know, a long time ago, when people believed that the planet was flat, the books that were written, and even to the last couple hundred years, the books that were written talking about just being the oceans and the earth. But they discovered some path through the ocean. Some path. They said, wow, there are paths in the ocean. Guess what? Long time ago, right there on verse 8, the birds of the ocean and the fish of the sea, they passed through the path of the seas. The writer of Psalms, David, motivated by God, talk about the path of the sea. People didn't know that. But it was in the Bible. Couldn't you read it? There was path in the sea. Now that's, to me, that's an eye-opener. And then the last verse, 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So all those provisions he has made for us, he must really love us. He must really love us. That. You know, when we get up in the morning and we breathe, that's the provision from the Lord. When we can walk to wherever we want, that's the provision of the Lord, how he made our bodies. Remember, you don't remember it because I don't remember either. But as I see other children, when they're born, they can hardly keep it balanced. They don't know how to walk. But as they grow older, they can walk just as good as us. Why is that? Because, you know, those bones get stronger. And the muscles get stronger. And you see your mom and dad walking. Whoa, if my mom and dad can do it, I can do it too. Next thing you know. So all that, where that comes from? Where that mentality to think in a positive way about yourself come from? Come from God. Because right here, the very beginning, he took mind of us. How minute we are, but look how God look at us as children. And that's great. Because you know how you look at your children. You love them. You care for them. And you think highly of them. Why is that? Because that's part of you. But we're part of God. So he thinks similar words, maybe much more than we ever could think about. But it's good to know that the Lord that provides for us, helping us to provide for our children. Okay? One more in this. I'm just talking about the first law, the law of designer. One more chapter I want you to see in Psalms 139. Psalms 139. And verse 15. 139 and verse 15, it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet, there were none of them. Just think, before we were created, before an existence of, I don't want to use the word humanoids, because that's sometimes what the evolutionary people says, but the humans, okay? Before that, it was already in his mind. Because we also understand by all the scripture that it was made in his image. So to me, that's a glorious image. I don't want to be made of an image of something else. Even though some people do tell, you come from monkeys, Henry, you come from monkeys. And the reason you have what you have because of the monkeys. What? Why not a rooster? I like roosters better. But the thing is, people come through, you know, different things in different way. And it kind of, what it does is kind of to the mind of a child, you know, it's sometimes confusing. But to us, we need to see it in the Bible what it says against that and how the Lord thought about things like that and what happened from the beginning. And here, David was inspired to write this thing for our information. Okay, that's the first law. There's a few more things, but those three things I just mentioned, references from the Bible, open our eyes as to what the Lord had to say. Now let's go now to the other law, the law of cause and effect. Cause and effect is simple. If you heat coffee, okay, you heat coffee for a purpose, and you start drinking, that's a cause and effect. You cooked it, and you drink it, and you enjoy it. That's cause and effect. How you get that coffee? Because I put the proper amount of coffee, a little bit of milk, a little bit of sugar, or whatever it is that you do with your coffee, and that causes, you cause it. You put it all together. You had ahead of time. You went to the store and you bought ahead of time. And the guy who went in the field to get that coffee to be put in a bag, to be sent, to be put together as what we drink is another process that we have to be exposed to before we drink the coffee. But the cause and effect, the earth revolves around the sun once a year and stays in its orbit. And I already covered that part. Because like I said, too far from it, you freeze, you're too close, you burn. Now, look what, all the way to Genesis, we're all familiar with Genesis, in not only chapter 1, but in verse 1, we talked about in the beginning. Okay. And just verse 1 and 2, that's all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, God, was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So all these other things about the different lights and how the other planets collided, and then it created more planets and things like that, all that is insinuations and theories that they have. If God wanted the planets to collide and form others, that's fine with me. But to me, he already organized how things are to be. And of course, we see the ocean sometimes coming into the waters, and we say, oh, wow, why can the ocean stay in the way? Why it comes all over here? But that's part of the process of their life, the lives of the oceans, and the fish that live on it, and more oxygen. You know, sometimes when you want some oxygen, sometimes you have to move that air, whether it is in a mask or whether it is in a vaporized container, or that air that sustains some people that can. You see some people walking around in a hospital or even in the stores with tanks of oxygen. So they cannot breathe the oxygen that we, you and I, can breathe in a normal way because of the lungs are collapsing or have problems keeping oxygen in, so they have to have the tank to help them. Just think how life is sustained by many ways. But thanks to the Lord, you know, we haven't got those problems, so we are able to breathe on our own. But here you have where the Lord from the beginning that created all this, created the earth and created all that together, that is the cause and effect. If the Lord had not made that, would we be here? So to me, that's cause and effect. But don't just think of Genesis. Look, go back to Psalms. I'll show you something. Evidently, Brother David, he really got inspired to say so many things that the Lord wants us to know. Look in Psalm, the 33rd chapter, 33. Because there's a lot of people that say how the planets are made and all that. But in chapter 33, look what verse 6 says. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. What? So all he had to do is breathe, and it was made. That's amazing to me. The power of God. And David was inspired to write this. So we know how really things were made. The Lord of heaven did that. Well, we have a great God. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by collision. It wasn't by Big Bang. It was by God. And that's what we need to motivate our children to learn. Because we accept it. We don't question it. But they are being inundated in the school to believe in evolution. And that's the problem. Hopefully, you know, they believe us and what the Bible has to say. Besides 33, I haven't used, well, let me use one more in Psalm. Look at chapter 19 of Psalm. Then we're going to go into the New Testament to show you how the apostle dealt with some of that stuff. In Psalms 19, verse 1, and a few verses after that, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone, our thoughts all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. And verse 6. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the earth end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. So they tell you there about temperature. They tell you how things are placed in places, where they can benefit from the heat, benefit from the orbit that is in, It tells you all that, how it was formed. That God's handiwork was what made these things happen. Now let's see what the New Testament, since we call ourselves New Testament Christian, show me in the New Testament. That was Old Testament. You know, some people try to differentiate what God has to say one thing to the other, not realizing it's all God's work, and we take it by faith. We don't have to question it. Okay, look in Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter, and verse 20. It says, verse 20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So those people that don't believe, they're without excuse, because just look up. Just look up. Can any man make that? Can anyone make any stars? No. Can anyone make the clouds? No. And then in verse 21 it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart were darkened. And I think that's what happened nowadays with all those scientists that come with different theory, how we were made and how the planets came about, and how from an amoeba they came out of a lake, and then and it grew up to be a person, and next thing you know, it multiplied. But he came out and became a cell. Sometimes they call it unicell, multicell. It can go back to breathe. It can go back to be on land. Okay, good for him, for whatever form that creature was. But where did the female come from? Do they have to wait another million years for that one to come out? See, they don't explain that. Or was he created to procreate on his own? They don't explain things like that. But here, by looking at what the Bible has to say, we can realize the power of Godhead. We don't have to question it. He says it. He said it. And that settles it, as far as I'm concerned. And that's how the Christians should look at this. You don't question God. You can question any man, and you can debate any man. But when God says it, that's the end of it. The beginning and the end of it, what he has done. Okay? We talk about Romans. Let me tell you one more in Romans. You read Romans 1:20. Look at Romans 2, the first few verses there. Therefore, you are inexcusable. O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Or do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing each thing and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? So they're going to be taken care of for their unbelief. Not only for their unbelief, I tell you what, I think also for teaching that unbelief. If you want to be foolish enough to believe a lie, fine. But for you to have the audacity that this is truth, and I'm going to teach it to my family, I'm going to teach it to my students, I'm going to teach the world, and I'm going to preach it. And they have to believe it. No! They don't have to believe you because you have decided. They have to believe what the Bible has to say. Why can't you teach something that's truthful? Why you come with a lie? But right there, that's our defense. Every time somebody wants to argue with it, yeah, I could be wrong, and you could be wrong. We both can be wrong. But let's go to the Bible. There, that's truism. That's the truth. Okay, that take care of cause and effect. You have a few minutes to get to the biogenesis. Biogenesis, you know, the bio stands for life, and the genesis, the beginning. So that's what that word could finish. But look at how biogenesis works in the Bible. I'm dealing with New Testament, because that's what you should be following. for our life. That's what we go by, what it were, how it was done for the Christian. So look in John, and of course you know, you're familiar with John, because John is one of those apostles who told it like it was and leave it. I kind of admire the apostle, because the apostle only talk about it and preach it, but they leave it. They really leave it. And in John 1, just four verses, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men." And verse 5 says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And that's the problem with those atheists and the people that don't believe in God. They don't comprehend. How could that be? Well, because God made it. Can you believe in God rather than a man telling you that they came from animal ancestors? Can an animal ancestor? It seemed to me like if an animal ancestor was the one who made man, could that be reversed? Could also be said that man who came from animal eventually be able to produce animals. Why not? If I'm going to accept your theory, no, they came from animal, then that means I should be able to produce animals, because I came from an animal. That doesn't make sense. But it seemed to me like their argument is futile by the fact that they used that type of word. But here we have it directly from John, one of the great apostles of the Lord. And look in Colossians, still in the New Testament, Colossians 1. I'm still dealing with about Genesis. Colossians 1, 16 to 18. And in 16 it says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, even with things we cannot see, was created by him. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church." Look at that. Even to the church. He mentioned us. Mention us as members of the church. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have the preeminence." Over all those theories, over all conceptions of where we come from, or the planets, we have to see, hanging this one verse here, "all things he may have the preeminence." He had the preeminence. Why his son, why God had the preeminence? Because it was in their mind from the beginning. They were the one who created. Why can I believe that better than what somebody tell me about? No, Henry. You came to this earth because of something else. Well, they cannot prove the theories. They can theorize, but anybody can theorize. But with the Bible, we have proof. I'm going to give you one more, and this will be the end of this lesson. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 45 to 49. This will be the last verse that we will discuss. 45, it says, make sure I get the right one. 1545, that's right. "So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the first, is the Lord from heaven, and was the man of dust. So also are those who are made of dust. And as is in the heavenly man, so that are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." That, the image we have. That is how we were created. And that's what we must believe. And that is what we must propagate and teach the people we get exposed to. If you have doubts, I could discuss in more in-depth other theories. I just want to deal with these three. And I believe it. And I don't mind talking about it and defend it. If you have not behaved like you should as far as being a Christian, you know what to do. You know what Mark 16:16 says. You know what Matthew 28:19 says about believing, repenting, about confessing, and also being baptized. That's when you're not a Christian, what you must do. And of course, accept by faith what the Bible had to say, and endure and remain faithful. But if you have created an offense one way or another, even as a Christian, which we do sometime, and you ask for our prayer for repentance, we're here to serve you. Think about that. We stand and sing the song of invitation.